Psalms 33. And we'll read, starting in verse number 8, Psalms 33, verse number 8. I want to preach on this subject this morning, a Bible definition of patriotism. A Bible definition of patriotism. Oh, we've got to be careful. There's a lot of people claiming to be patriotic. And with their words, it seems so. But you know what? If you watch their actions, they're not patriotic. We'll talk about that. I don't know. Say, how do you decide who's patriotic and who's not, preacher? Well, I go to the Bible. I go to the Bible to get an answer for everything in my life. And so we're going to look at the Bible and give you a Bible definition of patriotism. Psalms 33, verse number 8. The Bible says, Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. Oh, if that was only true. For He spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. The thoughts of His heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance. If we go to the Webster's Dictionary, we can get a definition of patriotism. Patriot, a patriot is one devoted to the welfare of one's country. Think about that, okay? A patriot, according to Webster's Dictionary, one devoted to the welfare of his own country. Do you get the same feeling I do that there's people in pretty powerful positions that do not have the welfare of our nation as their goal? It goes on to say devotion is exhibited by love of one's country, support of one's country, and a willingness to defend one's country. So we're working our way towards a Bible definition of patriotism. Webster's Dictionary has spoken. Let's listen to our first president, President George Washington. I think one of the most important quotes that we need to go back and visit is there. This: guard against the postures of pretended patriotism. Now think about this. This is early on, brother. The nation has just been birthed. It's in its infancy. And yet already our first president says, watch out, watch out. There's going to be people that claim to be patriotic, but it is pretended patriotism. Folks, we're looking and listening to a lot of pretended patriotism in our country right now. He went on to say this: there is patriotism and there is pretended patriotism. Adlai Stevenson said this: patriotism is not a short and frenzied outburst of emotion, but the tranquil and steady dedication of a lifetime. Abraham Lincoln said, gold is good in its place, but living, brave, patriotic men are better than gold. And I got to say a hearty amen to that. I want us to look at a few verses this morning. Let's let the Bible define patriotism. And then let's look in the mirror and ask ourselves, am I a patriot? Or am I in the group of the pretended patriots that George Washington warned about? We looked and read Psalms 33, verse number 12. Let's look at it again. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. You say, well, that's written to Israel. Folks, listen to me. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. What's the next three words? And is profitable. And so God, who formed a nation and then instructed His people how they ought to tend to their nation, how they ought to govern their nations, has surely left a template for us, for all nations. I'm not Jewish, and Israel is not my nation. But I can take the biblical principles and apply it to the United States of America. And God said this: blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Don Fetter said this: the Bible was as much America's founding document as the Declaration of Independence or the Constitution. The founding fathers' belief in liberty, equality before the law, and representative government came from Sinai. The Constitution is the covenant reflecting a much older covenant. And again, George Washington, I like reading what he said. He said, "It is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor." I love that those words came from the mouth of a president of the United States of America. I wish we would hear that kind of thing coming out of the mouth of our president today. President Dwight D. Eisenhower said, "The Bible is endorsed by the ages. Our civilization is built upon its words. In no other book is there such a collection of inspired wisdom." Here's the question we're posing. Am I patriotic? Let's answer the question this way, but with another question. Is the God of the Bible your Lord? By the way, that starts first with receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I don't want to assume that everybody in here has been saved. I don't want to assume that everybody in here has been born again. I know what it is to walk into a Baptist church lost. I know what it is to feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit, the drawing of the Father, and then understand what Jesus, God's Son, did to secure my opportunity to be saved. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead. He died for our sins, come on folks, but He didn't stay buried. 3 days later, He rose from the dead. If you believe the gospel and under conviction from the Holy Spirit with the drawing of the Father, if you call upon the Lord, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. In that state, believing and understanding the gospel and praying and asking God for eternal life, you can be saved. Now let's just stop before we go farther. Let's mark this point, this moment on the timeline of our life, okay? Now let's go all the way back to where we were born. Now, everybody in here, from this moment, look backwards, search up and down the timeline of your life. Has there ever been a time where you felt Holy Spirit conviction for your sin? You understood that God was urging you to be saved. You understood Jesus died on the cross for your sin, was buried, and rose again the third day. And understanding that, did you call out and ask Jesus Christ to save you? And by the way, if you've never done that, let me just say this. The people in this room that are saved were once not saved. Nobody's born saved, amen? And so you're around a bunch of people that have received Christ. They experienced that. And there's nothing that makes the Church of Jesus Christ happier than somebody that says, "God's speaking to me. It's time for me to settle this. It's time for me to be saved." You see, folks, I think the patriotic thing to do is to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Because blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Sergeant Alvin York, in his wartime diary, World War I, by the way, wrote this: "I carried a New Testament with me. I have the Testament I carried with me during all my fighting at home now. I read it through 5 times during my stay in the Army. I read it everywhere, in dugouts and foxholes and on the front line. It was my rock to cling to, it and my diary. I didn't do any cursing, no, not even in the front line. I cut all that out a long time ago at the time that I got saved." Amen. I like that. Abraham Lincoln said, "I believe the Bible is the best gift God has ever given to men. All the good from the Savior of the world is communicated to us through this book." President Grover Cleveland: "All must admit that the reception of the teachings of Christ results in the purest patriotism." That's what we're talking about. "In the most scrupulous fidelity to public trust and in the best type of citizenship." What is he saying there? He's saying Christians are the best citizens that we have. Born-again Christians are the best citizens of the United States of America. And it ought to be so. Patrick Henry said this: "It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians. Not on religions, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. For this very reason, peoples of other faiths have been afforded asylum and freedom of worship." Ronald Reagan said this: "While never willing to bow to a tyrant, our forefathers were always willing to get on their knees before God." And so what about this matter of patriotism? Let's let the Bible define it. The Bible, first of all, defines patriotism thus: "It is patriotic to keep the God of the Bible as our God." As long as we keep God as the God of the United States of America. He's promised to bless us. And so let's be busy spreading the gospel. Amen. Number two, let's go to Proverbs chapter 14. I'm going to have you look at a couple of these verses so that you can see them and mark them in your Bibles. If you don't mind, Proverbs chapter 14, if you'll look at verse number 34, we said first of all that it's patriotic to keep the God of the Bible as our Lord. Number two, it is patriotic to live a righteous life. Look, if you will, in Proverbs 14, verse 34, we're talking about patriotism. The Bible says this: righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Your pastor mentioned that the responsibility of keeping the nation right is not the responsibility of the White House, it's the responsibility of the church house. Because in 2 Chronicles 7:14, again, if you read the context, we often go to that verse, but you know, verse is spoken to Solomon after 7 days of celebration. They had the dedication of the temple. The entire nation watched the glory of God fill the temple. They had days of rejoicing and feasting and dedication and sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice. I think, Brother McGovern, there's not too many times in the Old Testament you can come and point at a moment where the people are closer to God or more right with God. And after 7 days of that, come on, 7 days, he had family camp for 7 days. He came home and he was exhausted and he lay down to sleep. In the middle of the night, God woke him up. And you know what he said? He said, if my people, which are called by my name. He was saying to Solomon, listen, I know that they're on a spiritual high right now, but folks, God inhabits eternity. He knew where Israel would one day be. And God knew that the United States of America would one day be where it is today. But I'm glad that he included in the Bible a formula for national revival. And it starts with, if my people, which are called by my name, think about this, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. We took that verse as our theme verse for the month of June. You know what? If the perverts are going to have Pride Month, Blessed Old Baptist Church decided we'd have Prayer Month. Amen? And while they're lifting themselves up in pride, in their pride, folks, you know what American Christians need to do? We don't need to match pride for pride. We need to bow down in our humility and repentance because we've been given a formula here. Identity. I belong to God, called by His name. You know what? We are to be godly. Come on. Let's connect ourselves to God the Father. Godly, Spirit-filled, God the Holy Spirit. Christians. You know, the word Christian used to mean something. We stood out. We were different. We were light in darkness. Identity, humility and posture, humility and position, humility and submission, shall humble themselves and pray, bringing petitions within God's will. Sometime this week, go to Nehemiah chapter 1. I think it's the template of praying for a nation. Nehemiah got brokenhearted over the condition of his nation, the condition of Jerusalem. And you know what? He prayed a prayer that I think we could take and we could pray as Americans because we're in the same place right now. We need God. We need God. Not to just pray, but the Bible goes on to say, and seek my face. Folks, listen to me. I believe that we not only need to go to God with our petitions, but we need to actively pursue the presence of an almighty God. Come on. I believe we need to have as close as we can while we're in human body a face-to-face encounter with God, seeking His presence. You know, folks, listen to me. I believe God is more than happy to hear our prayers. I can back that up with King James Holy Bible. But you know what, folks? You've got people in your life that the only time they want to spend time with you is when they need something or want something. Yes, sir. And I think God every once in a while just wants people to come, not for anything except for Him. Just to be in His presence, to seek His face, just to spend time with Him, just to be near Him. Think about it. Seek my face. Turn from their wicked ways. Oh, we need a time of confession. Come on. Confessing our own sins. Forsaking our sins. Repentance. Brother McGovern, I keep thinking about this, but it just seems like, I don't know, it's a vexation of spirit. And you know, I just keep watching Christian people lower their standards and lower their standards and make excuse after excuse as they lower biblical standards. You know, come on, the standards that keep us from worldliness and wickedness. And you know what I've gone around the country saying the last year? Okay, we've proved we can lower standards. When's the last time somebody raised their standard? Well, come on. In any area of your life in the last year or two, is there any area of your life where you've raised your standard? Come on, what is the standard, by the way? It's not, be ye holy, more holy than the world is. That's not what God challenges us to do. Too many times we're just looking at where the world is, and then we feel pretty good about ourselves. But wait a minute, the challenge is this, be ye holy as I am holy. We need to stop comparing ourselves to a wicked world and feeling good about ourselves. Let's get into the presence of God. Part of pursuing and seeking the face of God is, I'll tell you this, if you really, really get into the presence of God, it won't take very long before you start seeing your, as the lady, dear lady sang this special, our righteousness, even so many times, folks, is as filthy rags. We can't seem as humans to do anything without it being tainted with a little bit of sin. And if we pursue God's presence and we get in God's presence, you know what? The sin that we're making an excuse for all of a sudden becomes exceedingly wicked in His sight. And folks, we need, listen, I'm talking about patriotism. You want to be patriotic? It takes more than just waving a flag. I love watching the different people dress up in patriotic colors this morning, and I commend you that. I enjoy that. But you know what? You can dress in red, white, and blue for 365 days a year and not be patriotic. It's about time we decided that we're going to stop making excuses for sin. Come on now. Let's listen to the Holy Spirit of God right now. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying it is patriotic to live a righteous life. Righteous. Every time, young people, listen. Every time you do right, you exalt your nation. But every time you sin, it's a reproach to any people. Well, you know, folks, that's why I'm talking about pretended patriotism. There's people that would claim to be patriotic, and yet they're for the murder of the unborn babies. I'm sorry, righteousness exalteth the nation. There's people that claim to be patriotic and want you to vote for them, and yet they're advancing the homosexual, the transgender agenda. Righteousness is what exalts a nation. Patrick Henry said this, bad men cannot make good citizens. It is when a people forget God, listen, it is when a people forget God that tyrants forge their chains. And there's people in Washington right now that are forging our chains. Ronald Reagan said this, the founding fathers believed that faith in God was the key to our being a good people. Come on. Chief Justice Moore, to restore morality, we must first recognize the source from which all morality springs. From our earliest history in 1776, when we were declared to be the United States of America, our forefathers recognized the sovereignty of God. And folks, righteousness, what is the standard for righteousness? We must go to this book and let it speak to us concerning what is wrong and what is right. And if the Bible says something wrong, something's wrong and wicked and an abomination, I don't care how many laws we pass to protect it and promote it, God hasn't changed His mind about it, and we shouldn't be changing our mind either. President Ronald Reagan said, while America, think about this. I know we've got a military presence here and a military presence in Alaska. I'll talk about that in a minute. But listen to what he said. While America's military strength is important, and it is, let me add here that I've always maintained that the struggle now that is going on for the world will never be decided by bombs or rockets, by armies or military might. The real crisis we face today is a spiritual one. At root, it is the test of moral will and our faith. Daniel Webster said this, whatever makes men good Christians makes them good citizens. Amen. Now listen, are we patriotic? Are we patriotic? I want to be patriotic. I do. I don't want to just pledge allegiance to the flag. I don't want to just stand and put my hand over the heart when the Star-Spangled Banner is sung. I want to be patriotic. And I want to be patriotic according to God's standard. Well, folks, listen to me. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. If I am the Lord of my life and I don't let God be the Lord of my life, I'm sorry, young man, you're not patriotic. Righteousness, it is patriotic to live a righteous life. And I appreciate every single person that served our country. I go out of my way to thank the people that have served in one of our military branches. Now, put your seatbelt on. But serving in the military don't make you patriotic. Righteousness makes you patriotic. Serving in the military does not make you patriotic unless God is your Lord. And although I will be the first one to get in line and thank you. By the way, check out the record of Blessed Hope Baptist Church when it comes to thanking the veterans. We have an entire ministry called Operation Thank a Vet. One time we went to Washington, D.C. on the Memorial Day weekend, Saturday all day, Monday all day, manned every one of the war memorials on the mall there, and shook the hands of over 16,000 veterans and gave them a gift, thanking them for our service. I want you to understand, this preacher appreciates military service. But I don't care. You go do your 4 years, come back, and then you sit down at the bar, come home, beat your wife, won't go to church, use God's name in vain. Don't tell me that you're a patriot. You know why? Because the Bible says, righteousness exalteth a nation. You can wave a flag all day. Come on. But if you don't go to church on Sunday, you're not patriotic. You can say the Pledge of Allegiance in a clear, strong voice, but if later that same day you put strong drink to your neighbor's lips, you're not patriotic. You can stand as the flag goes by and place your hand over your heart, but if that is not followed by, taking the name of the Lord God in vain, don't tell me about your patriotism. Number three, and we're done, it is patriotic to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, we can look at Paul's example. And Paul was very patriotic. He was an Israelite, and he had a great burden for his nation. In Romans chapter 10, verse 1, he said, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." You know what? I think it's okay to have a special extra burden for your nation. I want to have a burden for the world. I want to reach the world for the Lord Jesus Christ. But preacher, I don't want to lose the home ship while we're doing it. And I appreciate the church planting efforts that's going on here in Alaska and in the lower 48. We need to plant more churches. We need to start more churches. We need to reach more people. We need to start more missions outreach in our country. We're losing our country. Now, if God calls you to go to another part of the world, go. But I'm going to tell you something. I think we need a whole army of young missionaries to just say, "I'm going to go to parts of America where there's not a Bible-preaching church, and I'm going to make sure that we have one." Think about that. Winning souls results in a couple things. More citizens whose God is the Lord. More citizens who begin to live a righteous life. And it gives us a chance to secure God's blessing and withhold His judgment. I don't know about y'all, but you know, sometimes I look at what's going on in the world, and I can't watch the news, brother. It discourages me too much. So I've got a couple news apps on my cell phone, and I'll flip down and just look at the headlines things going on in our nation, just so I'm not ignorant. Somebody brings something up. But I have a hard time even hitting them and reading them. And folks, you could do it. Come on, you can go home today and just do that. And if you read the headlines, you'd think, why hasn't God just destroyed this nation? And I want to tell you why. You know, as bad as the Sodom and Gomorrah was, God still was willing to show mercy. He said, "And there's just 10 righteous. If there's just 10, well, why do we go soul winning? I want to go soul winning because those folks need to be saved. I got a burden for souls. But I also go soul winning because I'm patriotic. Because every person we can get saved gives God another reason not to give us what we deserve. And buddy, let me say, America deserves judgment right now. I mean, if God destroyed this nation down to ashes, you know what? Not a one of us could level an accusation against God. All we could say is, God, you have been so merciful to us. But God has been, and He will be. Listen, we've talked about patriotism this morning. Listen, don't let the world define to you what it means to be a patriot. Let's go to the Word of God and let God speak. Are we patriotic? Here it is. We'll review and we're done. It is patriotic to keep the God of the Bible as your Lord. It is patriotic to live a righteous life. It is patriotic to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer.